Psalms chapter 37 and Psalms chapter 78. Go to both places if you would. Read just a couple verses in chapter 37 and a few verses in chapter 78. I want to thank everybody that was able to come out and help with getting stuff cleaned over at that new property. And I appreciate everybody that's been able to spend a little time over there helping with that. Weather permitting, I think it's supposed to rain tomorrow, maybe. But weather permitting, I'm going to work on that some tomorrow too. So if you'd like to come out and help, I'll be over here a good part of the day tomorrow working on that. But Psalms chapter 37, if you stand for, if you got it, if you'll stand for reverence to God's word. Psalms chapter 37, verse number 23. The Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Now, if you'll flip over to chapter 78. Verse number 12. Chapter 78, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness, and he gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock, and caused waters to run down like rivers." If you jump over to verse 52, verse 52, it says, "But made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain, which his right hand had purchased." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this day, Lord. As Brother Jeff said earlier, it's just a beautiful day, Lord. And thank you for those that were in church in your house this morning, Lord. And I pray that you was just honored by everything that was done. Father, I pray for those that are not with us tonight, that are out in Arizona. I pray that you just bless them. And I pray that you'd bless their efforts as they minister to the people out there. But more importantly, Lord, as they themselves are ministered to. And I pray that you just bless them, bless their lives, Lord. Give them safety as they travel and have activities, Lord. And just thank you for them. Pray that you just help us tonight, Lord. This is nothing new. But, Father, I pray that it would just be a reminder to us. And as it was to me as I studied this. And, Lord, I thank you just for your love and the way you take care of us. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, this is nothing new. I don't ever preach anything new. Most of the things I preach, I've heard from preacher or somebody else say something about it, or Pastor Ross or something. But I want to talk to you tonight about a GPS. A GPS. How many's got a GPS? How many hates their GPS? Yeah, that's most of the guys got their hand up on that one. But tonight I want to talk to you about God's positioning system. God's positioning system. You know, most GPS, it's Global Positioning System or whatever it stands for. But I want to talk to you tonight about that. And, you know, this is just a Bible study that I did myself. And I just want to share it with you tonight. What makes a GPS so valuable? All right? What makes a GPS so valuable? Well, obviously it tells you where you want to go. Okay? But that's not really the value of it. I mean, a map can tell you where you want to go. Okay, so that's not really something that's unique about a GPS. I believe one of the things that's unique about a GPS or any type of thing like that is it has a better view than what we have. It has a better view than what we have. And that's true. I mean, you can get on a satellite. I like getting on that. I think it's called Google Earth or whatever it is. And you can go around and you can, I mean, I usually look for different types of property, or if I'm hunting a certain area, you can see different terrain features and stuff like that a lot of times. And you can get on there and you can zoom in, you can zoom out, you can see the big picture. All right, and that's one of the advantages about the GPS. You know, the little lady that talks to you and tells you where to turn, you know, she's however many thousands, or the system that runs her is however many thousands of miles up in the air, and it sees the whole world, and it's got a lot better view than what I have at my present time. You know, I'm just a little old me here on the earth, and she can tell me, you know, where to go. Sometimes I don't listen to her. You can ask my wife. There's been several times I haven't listened to her, and we'll get to that one here in a little bit. But So it has a better view than what we have. I think you would agree with me on that. The second thing a GPS has, it has information that we do not have. It has information. I don't know about you, but I mean, I can find my way if I have a map. I mean, it's not that hard to find your way someplace if you have a map. But I can't find McDonald's on most maps. Well, you know what I mean? I mean, if I'm hungry and say I don't want to go to McDonald's, maybe I want some, you know, I'm looking for an auto parts store. I'm out in the middle of nowhere and I got something break on my truck and I need an auto parts store. Well, the GPS can get me, you know, you can punch it in and whatever, I don't know, my wife does it. I just tell her I need to go this place. She does it for me. And she punches it in and it tells me, you know, turn left up here because it has information that I don't have. All right. So it has a better view than what I have. It's got information I don't have. All right. And then it has a perspective that I don't have. You know, you can be driving and you may have a map and it could be pitch black outside. But you know that GPS, it can see right through the darkness. It can see through the rain. It can see through blinding snowstorm because it's a GPS. It's a global positioning system. I can't do all those things. So my perspective is not the same as its perspective. I want to talk to you tonight about that. And I guess this was my personal Bible study. And I just want to share some verses. And there could be several messages honestly preached about this, different aspects of this, but I just want to hit some highlights. And sometimes me personally, you just feel like you're driving, you feel like you're going through life, like you're driving through life and you're just on a road and there is no, you know, it's like, God, please, could you just give me a big sign that says exit here? You know, you've got decisions you've got to make. Everybody's got decisions you got to make. And sometimes you just want God to say, do this. And you're like, oh, thank you, God. I'll go do that. But sometimes life's just not like that. And you're just driving like, okay, I've been driving for 20 miles now. She should have, you know, the little lady on the monitor should have said something by now. All right? And, you know, sometimes I feel like that in life. It's like, man, where am I going? What am I doing? All right? And I want to talk to you just a little bit about that tonight. Terry Hayhurst, a man I've used him several times in illustrations, And if you'll go down and if you start noticing, and pay attention next time you go out and start driving, and the crops are short enough right now that you can tell. If you start going out and you look how straight these guys' rows are, and if they've got extremely straight rows, they're not driving the tractor. This has really come about maybe the past 10 years, guys have really, and honestly, if you start driving out now, most guys have GPS in their tractors. And we had never had GPS. Dad had always just planted straight rows. But you could still, even though Dad plants straight rows, the guy Dad works for plants straight rows, you line them up and you put a guy that's planted with a GPS and a guy that does a real good job planting straight rows, you can ask any farmer, you can almost tell instantly which guy planted with a GPS and which guy didn't. Because their rows are so much straighter. And I was working with Terry, and I worked for him a couple days this year, and just he was way backlogged, and I told him I'd help him out, and we kind of worked out a deal for some livestock. So I was working for him, and I climbed in his four-wheel drive, and I was like, what is this, Terry? I mean, he's got this big old screen up there, and there's this big contraption on the steering wheel. I was like, yeah, I don't know about this. You're going to have to show me. And he showed it to me. And it was a GPS system, and so he's like, "All right, I'll explain it to you." He's like, "You don't have to use it," but he said it is pretty nice once you get used to using it. I was like, "Okay, I'll just use it normal like I'm used to first, and then I might play with it once I get comfortable." And I started playing with it, and it was really actually pretty amazing. I mean, you turned on the ends, which you can actually, I think, program. There's some systems you can program where they actually will. And even his will turn to some degree. But you just turn on the ends. And once you turn back, there's a light bar. And once you turn back and you line back up, there's a foot pedal or there's a little button on the screen. You just push it and you let go of the steering wheel. And that steering wheel will automatically, within inches of where you're supposed to be, will automatically adjust. And you just sit there. I mean, you're sitting there watching the steering wheel just move. I mean, the tractor's, you know, it's an articulated tractor and it's moving back and forth, and I mean, you can literally just turn around in your seat and watch the tool behind you. I mean, the tractor's driving itself. There's nothing I have to do except when it gets to the end, I got to remember to hit the foot pedal because it's set on an A-B line. So it sets point A and point B. So, I mean, point A and point B can be infinitive. It's a line. You know what I mean? You get where I'm going with this? I mean, there is, it's not A, B, C, D, E, it's A, B. So, you know, you got to make sure when you get to point B, you're turning because you don't want to go to C because C is probably somebody else's field. All right? You know what I mean? All right? So it's point A and point B, but it was a very weird feeling, to be quite honest with you, because I've always been used to, you know, you're driving your car, generally you're not supposed to let go of the steering wheel. I mean, I know everybody does and does the whole, you know, knee thing there, but generally that's not a good thing. So when I let go of that steering wheel, to me it was kind of a, whoa, I don't know about this. And I think sometimes, and even in my life, you know, we want God to guide our lives. You know, and we want, yeah, I want to do what's right, and I want to do the best I can for God, but sometimes it's hard to let go of that steering wheel because you feel completely out of control. You really do. I mean, I remember Dad telling a story. He was going across 246 with a combine once, and he hit the mine road up there when it used to be real rough, and he broke the back axle on the combine. Well, that's a steer axle, so he had no steering. I mean, he's sitting in the driver's seat. Doesn't mean he can do anything. All right, and sometimes I feel like that in my life. You know, you feel like, yeah, I'm living life. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do every day. But sometimes you just feel like, wow, these things are way out of my control. How do I control these things? And that kind of made me think about this. And I want to just make some statements tonight that I wouldn't necessarily even say that they're points, but I want to make some statements about the GPS, about God's positioning system, about what God has planned for us as individuals, and how God guides our lives as individuals. The first statement I might make is following the guide can possibly allow you to do the impossible. Following the guide can possibly allow you to do the impossible. You know, I can plan a pretty straight row if I wanted to. You know, you just fix a focal point, and you do not, anytime you let your eyes off that focal point, you lose. I don't know what it is. It's weird, but you lose. You can almost tell the instant. If you look back on where you were, you can tell the instant your eyes left that focal point. And the smaller the focal point is, the more exact you will be when you, I mean, anybody knows that. If you mow and you want to get a straight line, you just pick a spot way out there and you keep your eyes on it until you get to that spot and you look back and you got a straight row. And, you know, I can do pretty good, but I can't do what that GPS can do. When I'm in a tractor, there's no way I can do what it can do. It's humanly, I believe it's almost humanly impossible to do that. I mean, you can look, guys that run GPSs, I mean, I can look up ahead and I can see maybe the field I'm in goes up over a hill and goes down on the other side of a hill. Well, I can't see down on the other side of that hill. So I'm going down and then my focal point changes when I reach the top of that hill. But that GPS unit does not change focal points. And, you know, that's where I went back to, you know, it has a better vision of what than what I have. And God has a better vision than what I have in life. You know, I can go through life and I think, okay, this is the focal point. This is what I want to go to. And I can be going through life and I can, okay, I'm headed towards that focal point, but then the terrain changes. And then my focal point's completely off. I'd have no reference point. But if I follow what God has for my life, and I follow what God wants me to do with my life, my focal point won't change. But I have to follow what God has for my life. So following the guide can allow you to possibly do the impossible. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 2. I'm going to use the illustration, in fact, in our text, in Psalms chapter 78, it was talking about the children of Israel being led by God by a pillar of fire or a cloud and a pillar of fire. But in Deuteronomy chapter number 8, starting verse number 2, Bible says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Now this is the impossible that happened because they followed the guide. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. And goes on to tell more about the land. But you know, the Israelites, because they kept on the trail, on the path that the guide had put them on, and kept that focal point on what God had directed them to do, you know, every day, God didn't tell them, okay, here, Moses, here's a map. Let me draw this out on a tablet of stone. And you put this with the Ten Commandments. This is a map of where you're going today. Or this is a map of where you're going. And God didn't do that. You know, God gave them day-by-day direction. And, you know, sometimes we want, like I said, we want a map from God. God, this is what, you know, in July, this is what I need to get done. In August, this is where I need to go. This is what I need to get done. This is a job opportunity I need to look at. This is, you know, we want a map. But you know what God a lot of times just does? Just follow me just for today. Just do what you need to today. You know, the GPS, you know, it doesn't, the GPS, when you look on the little screen in your car, you know, it doesn't give you the whole map of Indiana with you, you know, a little car driving through it. It gives you what? A little section of road. And then it tells you, okay, and only, when does it tell you to turn? In 40 miles, you're going to turn right. It doesn't tell you that. It tells you in 2 miles, in 1 mile, in 600 feet. You know, and God does the same thing. I don't think God tells you way out in advance, this is what I want you to do, or this is the decision you need to make. But if you obey up to that point, if you stay on that road up to that point, when that time comes, I believe God will show you the direction that you need to take. But you got to stay at that point, on that road up to that point. So following the guide allows you to possibly do the impossible. You know, the Israelites, their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. That's some pretty good manufacturing. And their shoes, they didn't get smaller and they didn't wear out. I mean, these people are walking this whole distance and their shoes don't wear out. That's the impossible that they are possibly able to do. But then if you go back and you read about the Israelites, what did they do? What did they do when they deviated from God's plan for them? God said, I want you to go and conquer the land. And they said, no, we're not ready for that. We're not going to do that. And God said, fine, we're going to take a detour. And so for what, 40 years, they marched through the wilderness, and every one of them over 20 died. Because they decided that they wanted to take a detour and they didn't want to go the way God wanted them to go. All right? Following the guide allows you to enjoy the ride instead of constantly looking for your exit. You know, if you got a map, when you used to drive with a map, and if I still drive with a map sometimes, I constantly ask my wife, what exit was that? What exit am I looking for? Are you sure? Check that again. All right? And she's like, I told you. It's exit 5. And I'm like, okay, exit 5. So 5 minutes later, you say exit 5? Yes, it's exit 5. All right, I'm just checking. And you know, the whole time, I'm constantly, did you see that sign? What was that sign? That was 3. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? You know, so the whole time I'm looking for exit 5, I'm on pins and needles because I don't want to miss my exit. And then, you know, you got to drive all the way around and come back and hit your exit. You know, the GPS, you know, that kind of one nice thing about it? It'll tell you when to turn, you know? And it usually, usually it'll tell you enough in advance you can switch lanes enough time. You know, it depends on if you're, you know, you're on a 5-lane and you're way over here. I mean, sometimes it's hard to get over. But, you know, and you don't have to worry about things if you trust your GPS, if you trust what it's going to do for you, all right? And so following the guide, it allows you to do possibly the impossible. Following the guide allows you to enjoy the ride instead of constantly looking for your exit. Following what God's will for you, you know, it's a peaceful ride, I have to say. Doing what God wants you to do, I don't say I don't have worries, I don't say I don't have problems, but I just trust God that He will tell me, direct my life in the direction I ought to go. But, you know, I can't do that if I'm not on the road that God wants me to be. You know, as long as I'm on the road that God wants me to be, I can trust that it's going to get me where I'm going. All right? And as long as I'm doing what God wants me to do, I can trust that God's going to get me where I'm going. It was kind of interesting, you know, before when I was driving the tractor, before when you know, we don't stop to eat, all right? We ate one meal a day when we and Dad did stuff together. It was supper. Mom would bring stuff out to the field, and we would stop for maybe 20 minutes to eat supper. And that's about the only time a day we would stop, unless it was to fuel up or, you know, if something broke or something. And so you just got used to eating as you were going. And you just watch what you're doing, and, you know, you got really good at eating with one hand. I mean, I could turn, and I'd hold a sandwich in one hand, operate the controls, and be turning the tractor, and take a bite halfway through, and then turn it back, straighten it back up. And you just get used to it. But it's kind of nice being able to trust that GPS. Hey, it's gonna keep me right on where I need to be. I can eat a sandwich, you know, use both hands. I can look back and watch the tool. You know, and that's the way it is with God. If you trust God, God's going to get you where you need to go. I believe that God gives you a peace. There's a peace that comes with that. And we could go through the whole Bible, and honestly, there's 600-some verses about the way of the Lord. I went through almost all of these. We were not going to do that tonight, but the Lord gives a lot of peace as long as you stay in the way that God wants you to be. Another thing, following the guide relies on the guide's perspective rather than your own perspective. Following on the guide relies on the guide's perspective rather than your own perspective. Do you remember let's look at verse number 15 in chapter number 8 in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 15. The Bible says, "Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end." You know, God led them through some pretty tough stuff. And you know, God's perspective, you say, Chad, why did God lead them through all that? If you remember, the Bible says that God led them not the way of the Philistines. Remember when the Bible says that? He led them not the way of the Philistines. Because God's perspective knew that the Israelites at that point were not ready to take the Philistines. They needed some time in the wilderness. They needed some time of preparation. I believe they needed some time of, honestly, battle training before they could take the Philistines. They were just slaves. They were just workers. They didn't have the experience they needed. And God's perspective was, you need to do this. You know, their perspective when they came to the Red Sea was not, oh, great, let's cross this. But God's perspective was, I'm going to open this and you cross it, and then I'm going to kill all the Egyptians behind you. So when you follow the guide's perspective, it's much better than our perspective. If I was going to go hunting someplace else, I've always wanted to go down to Louisiana, all right? And you say, why do you want to go to Louisiana? Well, there's several things. I like bow fishing, okay? You take a bow and you shoot fish. Well, I want to go gator. I want to go do it for gators. I always thought that would be... I mean, you know, you got a gator on the end of your line. That's pretty cool, okay? So I always wanted to go bow fishing for gator. Well, I have no clue about anything in Louisiana, all right? I don't know where the alligators are. I don't know. I mean, I would probably try to take a nice boat out there and run it up on some log and punch a hole in the bottom. You know, they got them airboats and stuff. You know, so I don't know. So it would be foolish for me to say, well, I'm just going to go down there and wing it. Versus getting a guide. Because why? The guide knows where the things are at, where the dangers are at, what the attributes are of the animal I'm pursuing. So it would be very foolish of me to go out on myself if I've got a guide that can take me. And that's the way it is. Sometimes we just go off and we just want to do our own thing. When God says, hey, I'll take you. I know where all the dangers are. I know where the enemy is. I know the pitfalls that you might encounter. I'll take you. And, you know, God led them right through the wilderness full of fiery serpents and scorpions and drought where there was no water. You know, on man's perspective, they would have not gone that route because there was no, if you're going in the desert, you're not going a route that has no water. You're going from water hole to water hole to water hole. And God said, nope, you're going this way. According to man's perspective, that was foolish. But God, what'd God do? God brought water out of the rock, all right? So we just got to trust God in these things. We're going to go to Proverbs for four or five verses. Viewing life from our own perspective is foolish and very short-sighted. Viewing life from our own perspective is foolish and very short-sighted. Proverbs chapter 12, we got a few verses here. These are all in Proverbs. We can get through them quickly. They're all pretty close together. It's pretty amazing once you start looking at what God says about our human capabilities to decide our own path. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Go to chapter 14, verse number 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Did you catch that? There's a way that, oh, that looks pretty good to me, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A man's heart deviseth the way, but the Lord directeth his steps. 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That sounds familiar, almost like we heard that one just recently. Chapter 21, verse number 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Do you remember over in Judges when the Bible said every man, before the Israelites got in trouble every single time, the Bible says every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's when they got in trouble, was when every man did that which was right in his, they weren't trusting that GPS, which had a better perspective, which had more information, which saw more things than what they saw. They weren't trusting in that. They were trusting in what they saw. And often, honestly, folks, I'm that way sometimes. Well, this looks like the right way to go. This looks like the right decision to make. And I don't even consult God sometimes. Even the big things of life, yeah, automatically everybody, oh, God, give me wisdom. I don't want to do something foolish. But what about the times when, you know, you're going through, and I know this sounds silly, but, man, that I could use that. That looks like something I could use. You know, you're going through a store. It's not your food. It's not something you have to have. It's just something that catches your eye. You know, when's the last time you said, Lord, is that something I need? And when the Lord, you know, you walk away and maybe the Lord speaks to your heart later on and says, yeah, I think that'd be all right. You could use that. Or maybe God says, you don't need that. That's just a trinket. That's just a thing that caught your eye that's flashy. Because why? Mine eye hath affected my heart, and a man's heart deviseth his way. So my eye affecteth what my way does, where I go, what I do. So we got to be careful. We got to include God in a lot more of our things. Viewing life from our own perspective is foolish and very short-sighted. The illustration I thought of with this is there was one night me and Dad were cutting beans late one night, and we were cutting beans at an angle because they were going through the combine a lot better. And it was after dark when I started on this field. Well, I guess it's a pride thing, but I always wanted everything I did to be real straight. I wanted everything to look real nice, you know, because to me it was representative of who I worked for and everything like that. I mean, if you got, you know, all over the place, like, whoa, who did that, you know? And I wanted to look nice, but I couldn't see nothing on the other end of the field. But there was a house there that had a security light on. And I thought, well, it had a light on. Let me paraphrase. It had a light on. I thought, well, I'll just go up off that light. And so I did. I set my sight on that light, and I didn't let my sight waver, except for one time, and my combine was making kind of a weird noise, and I looked back, and I turned back around, and I promise you, the light was still there. I thought, great, that looks pretty good. So I just kept going, and I got to the end, and I turned, and I worked for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, off of that, what I'd call the AB line that I had set based on my vision. Well, then the next morning, we went and me and Dad was driving around. And he's like, what were you doing? I was like, and I looked, and it was really straight for just a little bit. And then it dog-legged way over. The only thing I can think of, they had shut a light off. They had shut a light off and had turned another light on. And I was following that light. And then, but my perspective had changed, didn't it? So my path that I had thought, based on my perspective, in the middle of the night, I thought my path was really straight. You know, if I would have had a GPS, I would have been, you know, I set my AB, because it can see regardless of perspective. You know, God can see your life regardless of what you're going through. You know, you get going through a hard time, and honestly, this is true. This is human. This is humanity. You get going through a hard time, your mind gets fogged. Your mind gets fogged, and you can't think straight. Where if you're based upon the Bible, based upon what God wants you to do, you don't have to worry about, well, is this the right way I'm going? Because when you're emotionally involved in a decision, it often clouds your vision of what really ought to be done. And I think that's why God wants you to, you know, you need to base your decisions on what God, and I need to base my decisions on what God wants me to do, not upon what I see, because what I see a lot of times can change. But what God sees, what the satellite sees, it never changes. All right? It's the same thing. All right? So viewing life from our own perspective is foolish and very short-sighted. The free will of man is a very interesting thing, and I honestly don't understand it. If you can understand the free will of man and how God can allow to give you a decision and then give you multiple decisions and it still be his perfect will, I don't understand that. I really, really don't. And how, you know, if you can understand, come explain to me afterwards. But, you know, I'm very guilty of not seeking guidance on my choices of my life, even though God sometimes gives me a choice to do different things. There's advantages to following the guide, and we'll be done with these very quickly. The destination is usually good. The destination, when you follow the guide, is good. Go to Psalms chapter 48. Psalms chapter 48, verse number 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. He will be our guide even unto death. You know, you can trust him all the way from birth to death. You don't have to get to the end of life and say, oh, now where am I going? Well, if you've asked Jesus in your heart, obviously, this is Sunday night crowd, you know where you're going. In fact, let's go over, based on that, chapter 73 in Psalms, verse number 24. This is interesting. Actually, let's go to verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. How about that for a guide? Not only does God guide you, but he'll hold you by your hand and guide you. But verse number 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. You know, God has a destination for you. You know, there's a lot of things you're going to go and accomplish in life, but ultimately, knowing that God's your Savior and knowing that God will take you to heaven is the ultimate thing. The provision, Isaiah chapter 49. Remember how God, let's go to Isaiah 49. Remember how God provided for the Israelites? Isaiah chapter 49. Verse number 10, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. You know, God takes care of his children. You don't have to worry about that. The provision, there's the destination, there's the provision. Do you know that there's a fact that the guide never leaves the children of God? Let's go over to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. You don't have to worry about this GPS, the battery running down, or, you know, electronical failure, because he lives inside of you. Romans chapter 8, verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you've got somebody leading you, that means you're being guided. So for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, which lives inside you, they are the sons of God. John chapter 16. Go back to John chapter 16. I know we're using our Bible some tonight, but it's all right. John chapter 16, verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Do you know the lady in the box on your window? She really doesn't know all that much. She's just speaking what she's heard, what's given to her to speak. And that's why the Holy Spirit is. You know, Holy Spirit's just telling you what God's, it's part of God. It's just telling you what God's telling you, all right? You know, God's always inside you. The Holy Spirit's always inside you, but that doesn't mean you have to listen to him. At any time, you can tell the Holy Spirit to be quiet. At any time, you can tell the Holy Spirit that you don't want to go that direction. But you're leaving that road. We went to Colorado, and I've used this illustration before. We went to Colorado, and I decided that I wasn't going to listen to the GPS. And it was like 4 hours. You know, around here, you know, you can pretty much drive to the next road and take a right and then take another right and take another right, and you're back on the same road. You know what I mean? That's not that way in Colorado. And I found that out the hard way. You know, I thought, well, I'll just go up here to this next road. You know, that don't look familiar anyway, because my perspective wasn't what the GPS perspective was. And, you know, 4 or 5 hours later, you know, we're trying to get back to where we left the road because I didn't listen to it. You know, you don't have to listen to God. That's the free will of man, which I don't understand. But you don't have to listen to God. But the best way is to listen to God. It is perfect. Psalms chapter 18, we'll be done. Actually, we got one more place to go after this. Psalms chapter 18, though. This is probably one of them. If I had a life verse, one life verse, this would probably be it. Psalms chapter 18, verse number 30. The Bible says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. You know, God's way is perfect. You can trust in it, and it's hard to do. It's hard to do, especially as a young person. You know, as you trust in God more, I think it's easier to trust in God. You know, as a young person, you do not trust in God any, and it's hard to understand why you have the rules and why your mom and dad are giving you rules and why your pastor has rules. But the older you get, you know, I didn't understand all the rules that dad had and all the things that dad taught me growing up. But, you know, the older I get, the more I value those things and the more I trust what dad said. I really do. You know, man, dad really did know, you know? You know what I mean? I wish I would have listened more. Honestly, I do. But God's way is perfect, and God's way is tried, and God's way will never let you go hungry. It'll never let you go thirsty. It'll never let you get cold. You know, you may not have all the flashy things, but you know what? Usually to get those flashy things just means you got to take a detour. You say, well, I'll just take this detour and I'll get right back on the same road. But how much time did you lose? Do you know that, you know, I can make it from here to my wife's family's place and 4.5 hours. But if I got to stop 3 times for a bathroom break for the kids, it changes, you know, a 4.5 hour trip to a 6.5. And you think it's just 3 bathroom breaks. It's those little detours. It's just the little things. It's nothing big. You go through drive-through and you think, oh, this won't take long. All right? If you don't think it'll take long, don't go to the drive-through at Bicknell McDonald's, believe me. Wow. You're like, oh, this won't be too bad. You know, it's like 30 minutes later, you get your cheeseburger that you ordered, okay? And, you know, your detours are like that. They always take longer than what you think they're going to take. They just do. I don't know what it is about it. And you know what? You waste a lot of life. And you know what else happens when you take a detour? Almost inevitably, every time I get off the main highway, you know, Bert Tom, I never spend money on the main highway except it's going out my exhaust pipe. That's the only money I spend. But when I take a detour, cha-ching, 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 you know, you go to the bathroom break. Daddy, I'm thirsty. Cha-ching. That didn't happen on the main highway. No way. And you know what I'm talking about, because you all have done it. But every time you take a detour, it costs you money. And listen, folks, every time you take a detour from where God wants you to be, it'll cost you money. It really will. It'll probably cost you money. It'll cost you your life. And hopefully that's all that it cost you, because it could cost you a lot more than that. So be careful about taking those detours, because God has a plan for you. God wants you to get from point A to point B, But God doesn't want you to take all these detours because you waste your life. I mean, I'm gonna go see what's on every exit between here and Columbus. You realize how long that would take to go see what's on every exit between here and Columbus? Well, I'm just enjoying life. Okay? And there went your life. Right there. So be careful about those expensive detours. God's put different people into our life. God has a system. God's positioning system. And God put a pastor. You know, the pastor has a better view of everything than any of us. All right? God's put the pastor. God's put the parents. All right? God's put just people in authority. God's put the Holy Spirit. God has different things that help guide us and guide me. It's just if we'll listen. Like I said, you don't have to. You don't have to listen to GPS. But you could spend the rest of your life just wandering around, accomplishing nothing with your life. And I don't think God wants us to do that. And I don't think God wants me to do that. I think God wants me to go somewhere. I think God wants me to do something with my life. Do I know what it is? No. The Israelites honestly could not tell their Egyptian neighbor, well, I'm going over here to the promised land. Okay, where's the promised land? I don't know. It's the promised land. Do you ever notice that God didn't really give it a name? It wasn't, well, we're going to Israel. No, Israel was a tribe. They were just moving day by day according to what God told them to do. You know, as long as you stay in the Word and do what you're supposed to do every day, I think you can rest at ease and trust that God will take you where you need to go. Are there decisions to make? Yes, absolutely. But I believe that if you stay in the path, that when you come to that time to make that decision, God will say, let's go this way. You need to turn this way. Or let's go this way. But if you're off the path on some detour, good luck. Good luck. Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Father, I thank you for this night, Lord. Lord, this was simply a Bible study. Lord, you know that. And just some verses I caught my attention, Lord. I know this is nothing new to anybody here tonight. But Father, I pray that it was just kind of a reminder that, God, you have a perfect plan for us. Your way is perfect. You're tried and you're true. And you don't want anything to come to harm us or to hurt us. And God, we just need to trust in you to guide us and to lead us home and eventually take us to glory, Father. Thank you for all these good people and just their attentiveness tonight. Lord, we just help our preacher, and I pray that you just be with them and the rest of them this evening. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.